Let's go to the Word. This is a very familiar verse of Scripture. But I want to touch on it because I think there's a time and a place for digging deep in the Scriptures, and then there's a time and a place just to preach the simple Word of God. They both have great effect, very powerful when it comes from the Word. In John chapter 10, we'll go to verse 10. And you're familiar with this verse, of course. If I were to ask you to quote it, I'm sure any one of us could stand up and quote it word for word, right? Close enough. The thief. Everybody say the thief. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, I want you to look at that phrasing. And maybe you haven't really thought about it, but the thief comes only, circle the word only, to do three things: steal, kill, and destroy. He doesn't come to do anything else but those three things: to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, or have it to the abundant life. I want to talk to you about this thought that Satan is a taker. Satan is a taker. It is amazing to me how many people are caught up in the web of sin, in the web of addictions, the web of snarls that sin has to bring, and it's all being done in such a way that it's not giving anything to people that are caught up in that. It's taking away from them. They don't realize it's being taken away, or life is being taken away, or their freedom, their liberty. They don't recognize that, but everything Satan does is to take away from us. Everything he does is to take away from us. As a matter of fact, if you're ever having a hard time trying to figure out the will of God, or if it's Satan battling you, God gives, Satan takes away. And the only time God takes away is when he's making room for more things to be given to you that he wants to give you. All right? Satan's basic nature, he's a thief. He comes to steal and kill. He's a taker. Have you ever had a friendship or a relationship, or you knew of a relationship where one party in that relationship was just a taker? Just a taker. I mean, maybe you were in a relationship and the person was just a taker, and you gave and you gave and you gave, and you tried to appease, you tried to do everything you could to make the friendship blossom or the relationship blossom, and you just couldn't give enough. That's because the motive in that individual that was receiving from you is to take all that they can get. And then when they can't get any more, they leave. It's kind of like the old saying, if you have a lot of money, you have a lot of friends until your money runs out. And then you won't have any more friends. You know what I'm talking about. Satan is the father of all liars. He uses deception and lies to kill, steal, and destroy. He's a taker. He took a third of the angels with him in his rebellion. He's not satisfied with just taking angels. He wants to take you and I from the hands of the Lord. He wants to remove us out of the hand of Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, he comes to us with his lying deception in hopes that we will believe the lie and become discouraged and walk away from God. His number one weapon is to deceive. Deceive. And I know I've told you this before, but it's just simple and it's true. My dad told me, he said, son, anytime the devil speaks to you, it's a lie. Believe the opposite. It'll keep you out of a lot of a mental anguish. Every time the devil tells you something, it's a lie. Believe the opposite. He can't tell the truth. He takes the truth like he did in the very beginning of the creation story, and he turns that truth into a lie. Didn't God say that you'd become a god if you ate from this tree? Wouldn't God like you to be like him? You were made in his image. That isn't what God said to them. God had a totally different motive. But he took what God said, twisted it, and made it a lie. He comes to us through these ways, through thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5 says that he brings imaginations and he magnifies them so that they will exalt themselves against God. Like fiery darts tormenting us to take away our peace of mind. Listen, the way the enemy comes at some of your minds, man, you need to take a mental rest. I don't understand why you want the enemy to keep pounding you with those kind of thoughts. Shut that down. How do you shut that down? You shut your brain down. How do you do that? You tell your brain to come under the authority of the Word of God and not become distracted at these thoughts that are being hurled at you. Realize it's a distraction. It's an arrow of the enemy. Don't keep it going in your head, spinning around again and again and again, the same story over and over. Does not get you victory. Now, if you want to put in your mind the crucifixion of Jesus and him coming out of the grave, and he's the victor over all enemies, and spin that around in your mind for a while, that'll help you. He comes to us with thoughts. He comes to us with assaults of sickness and disease to take away our health. No sickness is of God. I'm going to say that again. No sickness is of God. Sickness is a result of the fall of Adam and Eve that brought sin into the world. My dad was praying for a lady one time, and she came up. She says, I've got cancer in my left lung, and I know God's given it to me for his glory. And so Dad laid hands on her, and he started praying. He said, in Jesus' name, I pray that cancer come to her right lung so she can get double glory. And the lady looked up at him and said, what are you doing? And he says, well, you said that you had cancer in your left lung for God to get glory. That's the way some people think. No sickness is of God. It comes from the fall and the sin that entered into the world. If you will claim that and understand that, it makes it easier for you to stand and resist the devil. And he'll flee. Paul said he was buffeted by a messenger of Satan in some type of illness, and we can debate on what that was, but it definitely caused him trauma, turmoil. It bothered him. Satan comes to us through tempting us. This is huge. Satan always solicits us to do evil. God will never solicit you to do evil. Never. That's how you tell the difference between being tested by God or tempted by the enemy. He solicits us to do evil. He comes as an angel of light. He'll bring depression and he'll bring lies. He oppresses us by stirring up bad memories of our past to take away the hope of our future. He condemns us and accuses us before the throne of God day and night so that we'll become discouraged and give up our faith. The only thing that you need to guard is your faith. You can't let the devil take your faith. You can get discouraged. You can feel like you're crawling on your hands and your knees. You can feel like you're not going to make it. But believe God. Have faith in God. Don't let the devil steal your faith. If you don't have anything else to give to God, hang on to your faith. Oh, so many stories I could tell you of people that it just got down to losing everything but their faith. And because they hung on to their faith, they rebounded. And God's victory came back again in glorious ways. Never give up on your faith. Never. He's a taker, there's no doubt about it. He has a single objective, and that is to subtract from us, to slay us, to sabotage us, to steal from us, to bring sorrow. Satan comes to bring sin-binding lifestyles. Satan comes with a motive to damn our souls to hell. Let there be no doubt. He is not your friend. He is your enemy. Hello, somebody? He is your enemy. Let there be no doubt. Satan will promise to give you anything in his attempts to take everything from you. It looks as though he's given you everything, but the end result is he'll be taking everything. I did a little play on words many years ago and put a message together called Trophies in the Showcase of Hell. And I went through the scripture and I brought out people who served God at one time but ended up becoming apostates. And I just brought to the congregation, I said, imagine Satan giving tours in hell, which is ridiculous, but imagine he's giving tours in hell and he's got souls of those that he was able to snatch out of the church. And those were his trophies in the showcase of hell. Somebody says, well, can you lose your salvation? Can you become an apostate? You can become an apostate. How long does it take for that to happen? I don't know. And I don't want to plan it out and do it to find out. All I know is that I believe that it is possible for your name to be removed from the book of life. That is a possibility. We can't let Satan ever have the gratifying effect that he stole us from the hand of God. If the devil has taken so much from you that you're convinced your life is hopeless, worthless, disgraced, beyond repair, now I'm going to introduce to you Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is not a taker, he's a giver. Jesus said in John 10, the thief comes to kill and steal and destroy, and then he personally promises, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He's a giver. This verse shows us Jesus' heart toward us. His heart is to bring value to you, goodness to you, blessings to you. I don't deserve any blessings. Yes, you do. If you're saved, you deserve all that God's willing to give you. Hello, somebody. That's not being conceited. That's not trying to take authority where you shouldn't take authority. He calls you righteous. He calls you redeemed. He calls you saved. He calls you to be whole. He calls you to be healed. Do you hear what I'm saying? These are what he says about us. We've got every right to have what he says we can have. Glory to his name. He did pay for it in full. Amen. Jesus is a giver. If Jesus takes anything from us, it is so he can make room for all that he wants to give us. I want you to think about this now. The devil wants to drive your life deeper into sin to destroy you. And this is the part that Jesus wants to take away. I want to say that again. The devil wants to drive your life deeper into sin to destroy you. And this is the part that Jesus wants to take away. The devil wants to take from you what Jesus wants to give you. Hear what I'm saying? Jesus gives life, far more life than before, far more life than we ever thought we experienced in sin. As a matter of fact, you weren't experiencing life in sin at all. You were dead though you lived. That's right. One of the most favorite TV shows is The Walking Dead. And then The Talking to the Walking Dead or something like that. I don't watch either of them, but there are a lot of people that are walking dead people. They're alive, but they're in sin. They're in bondage. They're dead. The Bible says they're dead in trespasses and in sin. The Bible says we were once dead, trespasses and in our sin. But he has quickened us. Can you raise your hand and say hallelujah on that? He's quickened us. He quickened us and made us alive. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When he quickened us, that's when we begin to live. That's when we begin to know what life was all about. Life didn't mean anything until he quickened us. But thank God he took us from death unto life, and now we experience the glorious life of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He's a God of life. Jesus Christ gave the tree of life to Adam and to Eve in Eden's garden. King David said, God, I asked for life from you, and you gave it to me in Psalms 21:4. He gives eternal life and takes away the curse of sin. In Psalm 36:9, Jesus alone gives us the fountain of life. The scripture says, with long life will I satisfy you. I met some folks the other day I haven't seen for a while, and they said, how you doing? I heard you're almost dead. I said, you've been listening to the wrong messenger. I said, I'm going to live a long life and be satisfied. Hello, somebody. Don't let anybody put that kind of word on you. Sometimes it just makes a difference what color your hair is. That's true. You know, I use my 6 weeks men coloring. And I've talked to you about that. And I haven't used it for about 8 weeks now. My hair is more white than it normally is. Now, when my hair is this color, somebody will come up to me invariably and say, are you feeling all right? They're shaking my hand. You look tired. No, I don't look tired. Then I get my hair done, and then I come in. They say, boy, you're looking good. So I know why those ladies want to dye their hair. It makes sense to me now. Call me part of that picture. Amen. Jesus said, come unto me that you may have life in John 5:40. It's Jesus who says, I am the bread of life. How many scriptures do you want to prove that he is a life giver? Abundant life. Christ came to give life and something more, something better. Life with an advantage. I like that thought. Life with an advantage. It means that in Christ, we might not only live, but we would live comfortably, live plentifully, live and rejoice. Life in abundance is eternal life, life without death or fear of death, life and much more. I'm not afraid to die. If I take my last breath here, I take my next breath there. If I take a step here and fall, my next step will be on streets of gold. I'm not afraid to die. We'll never know what it's like to pass from here to there. It won't feel like death at all. It'll just feel like we're graduating to new life. Amen. Amen. I think one of your favorite songs is The Next Step I Take. The next hand I shake, and yeah. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Help me preach. Amen. Jesus is actually a little spin now, a taker and a giver. Jesus will take away the tormenting thoughts of the devil that haunt you and give you peace of God that passes all understanding. Jesus will take away sickness and disease and give you healing that makes you whole. Jesus will take away the devil's oppression and the clouds of darkness and dismay and give you a sound mind. How God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. How many did he heal? All that were oppressed of the devil. If you're being oppressed by the enemy, in the name of Jesus, be released in the power of God, and that thing to be broken off of you in Jesus' name. The same Jesus that did it on earth is the same Jesus doing it today. Jesus will take away your hopelessness and give you hope that springs eternal. Jesus will take away the feeling of worthlessness and give you the understanding that you're fearfully, wonderfully made. Hallelujah. At the revival in Vincennes, Indiana, on a Sunday morning, I felt led to pray for this young lady. And she looked like a young lady. And as I prayed for her, the Lord told me to tell her these words. I said, "You're," and I talked to her in her ear quietly. And I said, "You're really struggling with your identity as to who you are. And you're trying to move from one gender to another. But the Lord says that you're fearfully, wonderfully made. He made you the way He made you. And He's satisfied with the outcome." And Pastor Swen, she broke down and started to cry. Broke down and started to cry as God washed His love over her and ministered His love to her. And at the end of the service, they started singing songs. And in that, in Pastor Mike's church, they do worship with flags. And she asked if she could come up and take a flag. And she took a flag and she was swinging that flag for Jesus. And I thought, isn't that just how God works that out? And she came every night of that revival and God touched her and blessed her. Just to have the understanding that you're fearfully, wonderfully made. And that oppression was taken away from her mind. Glory to God. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Jesus will take away the disgrace of your life and give you godly dignity. Jesus will give you back what the devil has stolen from you. I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. How about you? Amen. The devil is a taker, but Jesus is a giver. You know the scripture, "For God so loved the world, He gave Jesus His Son to die and to be raised from the dead, that whoever will believe in the work that Jesus did at the cross for payment of their sin will receive life eternal." Satan is a taker. Jesus is a giver. Amen. And Jesus is here to give you whatever you need tonight. Amen. And I'm thankful that He's still giving. He's still giving. What He has planned for us is above anything we could imagine or think. I want you to think about that scripture. Anything that we could imagine. I've got a pretty big imagination when I let it run. How about you? Yeah. I mean, anything bigger than what we can imagine or think. That's what He's got in mind for us. That's powerful. He's a wonderful God, isn't He? Amen. Stand to your feet if you will. Hallelujah. Jesus, thank You for Your word. Thank You that it's ever living, true, powerful. Thank You for the encouragement that the word of God brings. The healing that it brings to our mind, our soul, our spirit, and our body. Thank You for the power of the Word, Lord, that causes our thoughts to come under the authority of the Word and be directed and be made right and good and righteous. Thank You for all that You do, Almighty God, in our life. We praise You for it. We love You. We're going to serve You until You come, Jesus. We know that Your coming is near and close. We thank You, Lord, for all that You're doing in our hearts and lives. Bless this church. Bless this people. Thank You, Jesus. Walk us through these days, Lord, that we're going through. But at the end, we will say that God has had His way. And the glory of the Lord has been revealed. Once again, we will say that God is the victor. We praise You for that in Jesus' name. Yes, Lord, we do. We pray now that You'll strengthen us and touch us. Minister to us as we come to take communion, Lord, as we share as a family. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Just let me say this before you start walking up. The events of the world events that are taking place are absolutely events that you should be keeping an eye on. God is definitely doing some powerful things. And I keep looking at this hook that's going to be put in the mouth of whoever. We've debated whoever that is, and everybody can have your thoughts and idea. But God's putting a hook in somebody's mouth to come down after Israel. And we know that there's going to be this battle come before the rapture of the church. We'll see this battle. Not Gog and Magog, but we'll see this other battle before the rapture of the church. Or it could happen almost simultaneously. But here's the point that I want to get at. These are days not to be concerned. You should rejoice. Lift up your head, for your redemption draws nigh. Jesus is coming soon, guys and gals. Jesus is coming soon. Amen. We're not talking 100 years from now. We're not talking 50 years from now. Jesus is coming soon. In your lifetime and in my lifetime. Amen.